be back down here. I was just looking at my phone because I just wanted to share with you. I just got a text from Josh. He's back home. He's on the ground. He's safe. So let's be thankful for that. You know, we're going to be back in Philippians tonight. I don't know, as I've studied the last several weeks over where God wants to take me, He keeps taking me to Philippians for some reason. And I need to dismiss Kids Club. So I apologize. Follow Ms. Diane. God keeps taking me to Philippians for some reason. So that's where we're going to be tonight. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 2 again tonight. And I just want to briefly share a few verses here in Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And it says, "Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from His love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose." In verse 3, it says, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had." Man. You know, those scriptures say a lot. It talks about a lot about the way that the church should work. You know, the entire church should be a unified body. We have one purpose. The only purpose of the church is to help bring the lost to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And how do we go about doing that? We go about doing that by coming together, uniting together as a family, and showing the attributes of love that Jesus Christ shared when He lived upon this earth. It's as simple as that. But the church and Christians together today make it so complicated. You know, in my message Sunday, I briefly talked about Philippians chapter 4 last Wednesday night, and we were in Colossians and Galatians on Sunday, but the message of these letters is the same. And God wouldn't have inspired Paul to write these letters if he didn't think the message was important. And the message of these scriptures is so important. You know, I'm a firm believer that we are in the last days. You know, I don't know when the last day is going to be. I don't know when God's going to split that eastern sky open and we're going to see Jesus come take us home. I don't know what that day will be. But I know one thing. And the one thing that I do know is God put me here and He has a plan for me to fulfill His calling for me. He called me to do something in particular. And tonight, I want to make it known to everybody here that He's calling each of you all to do something as well. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as I've said over and over and over again, your job's not to sit there on the pew and do nothing. There is a job for every one of us, and it's not the same for every one of us. And when it all comes together, you see a church become united. And you see God's ultimate plans. And you see God's calling being fulfilled. You know, when I think of the human body, it all works together as one. The heart pumps the blood to every other part of your body. And when those other parts of the body receive that blood, your body does what's appropriate so that you can live, so that you can function. The blood goes to your brain, and the brain sends out signals to the rest of your body as to what it's supposed to do. You know, the church should work the same exact way. We are each called to do something entirely different. And when we all come together and we do what God calls us to do, it should work as a cohesive, united body, shouldn't it? You know, I look at the example of Grace Community Church, and people don't realize what all comes together for this church to function. There's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot that goes into a service. There's a lot that goes into the sound, into bringing the words on the screen so we know the words to our songs. There's a lot that goes into preaching a message. There's a lot that goes into preparing a lesson to teach to small groups. There's a lot that goes into preparing a lesson to teach to kids club and to other kids programs that we have. There's a lot in the financial aspect of the church. If you don't think there's a lot financially that goes into the financial books of the church, please come and see me afterwards. We are blessed to have Betty Willock do what she does. But the church would not be able to function if people didn't step up to do what God called them to do. And it's appropriate. It's so important that we as God's children step up to the plate, and we do what others call us, what God calls us to do, not what others call us to do. So if I had a title for my message tonight, it'd be "What Helps in Teaching the Attitude of Christ," because that's what we are called to do. Our actions should be the attributes of Jesus Christ. Are they? Nah, that's a whole nother conversation. But God calls us to reflect the attributes of Jesus Christ in our lives. So I have three different points. I might not get to all of them tonight, but I'm going to start with point number one. How do we get to show that attitude of Christ to others? The first point that I want to make is, in order to serve Christ, we must have a united spirit. We must have spiritual unity as a church. That means each and every one of us, each and every one of us as members of the church, should have the exact same mindset. Not the exact same calling, it's two totally different things, but we should have the exact same mindset. We are here, we come to church together to learn about Jesus Christ, don't we? To fellowship together. To build each other up. To encourage one another. But it goes beyond that. When we come together and we sit down and we're fed spiritually, that should allow us to help in our calling by going out into the world and to spread the love of Jesus Christ, to spread the message of Jesus Christ. That is spiritual unity, where everybody is on the same page. Everybody is all about serving Christ. But unfortunately, we live in a church, and we live in a day and age where we see the church struggling with that. We see churches struggling with the concept of spiritual unity. And if we don't have spiritual unity in our church, how in the world are we going to send the message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world? It's going to be impossible if we as the church are not united together preaching the same message. We've got to preach the same message. And we have so many churches that are not preaching the same message. The message that God wants us to teach and to preach is the message of salvation. And the fact that we need to go out into this lost and dying world, and we need to go out and we need to preach the message that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was born of a Virgin Mary. He lived, He died upon this earth, upon the cross, that He was resurrected, and He lives today for us. And that act of salvation, that act of dying on the cross and being resurrected, gives us salvation. And my Bible tells me that what God giveth, no man taketh away. That means when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, nothing can ever take that away. That is what God's Word preaches. That's the message of God's Word. But unfortunately, we have churches today that are not united in terms of spiritual unity, and they are taking parts of that biblical message and ripping it apart. You have churches teaching today that your salvation can be taken away when you don't act a certain way. You have churches today teaching that works can lead you to salvation. My Bible tells me the exact opposite. Works won't get you anywhere. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that gets you to heaven. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that gives you that salvation. So, we are to love one another. We are to be united in our mission. We are to work together to serve others. You know, as I was reading this and as I was studying this, I was sitting there trying to imagine in my mind what it would be like if the church was united. Could you imagine the work that could be done in our society today if the church was united? But as I briefly pointed out in my message Sunday night, you have churches competing against each other instead of standing united. You have churches more concerned about the number of people sitting in the pew. You have more churches being more concerned about the translation of the Bible that is taught in the church. These are petty things that man has instituted, where we put limits on God. So the first point that I wanted us to understand was, in order to serve Christ, we must have a united spirit. We must have spiritual unity. And the second point that I wrote down is very important. And if you're taking notes, make sure you write this one down. Don't be concerned about impressing others. That's not what church is about. That's not what serving Christ is about. It's not about impressing others. My Bible tells me that God looks at my heart, and He looks to see if I have the blood of Jesus. And if I have the blood of Jesus in my heart, that means I'm good enough to go to heaven. That means my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I have nothing to fear. I have nothing to worry about. And you know, when I come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, my focus is not about impressing you. My focus is about doing what God called me to do. And that is our responsibility as His children. That should be what we are concerned about. Our concern should be about doing what God is calling us to do. Now, yes, it's important that we serve others and that we be united with others, but that doesn't mean it's all about impressing others. You know, you have churches today, you have preachers today that stand up in the pulpit on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night that want to impress their congregation, want to impress society. But that's not what it's about. It's not what it's about. Our focus has to be on God. Our focus has to be on Jesus Christ. Our focus has to be on our specific calling. That should be our focus. The third point that I wanted to make tonight is we as God's children are to be an example of humility. Because Jesus Christ was an example of humility, wasn't he? We were on his mind when he went to that cross. Jesus was more concerned about our salvation rather than what he was getting ready to have to face. He humbled himself so that he could save us. So that he could save us from our sins. And you know, we as God's children, we have to have that same mindset. We have to be willing to sacrifice what we want in order to do what's appropriate for God. In order to fulfill God's calling. We have to put our own desires away. You know, I'm human. I have a lot of desires. I don't know about you all. I'm sure you all have a lot of desires as well. And I don't know about you all, but a lot of times I struggle in waking up on Sunday morning and doing what God's calling me to do. You know, God calls me on Sunday morning to wake up and to teach a small groups class. But a lot of times when I wake up, I feel as though my bed's calling me to sleep. And it's so easy to try to want to satisfy that temporary desire. You know, if I sat at home and I sat in bed and I slept and I called somebody to teach my small groups class, I can guarantee you as soon as I woke up, I would feel so convicted. And I would probably sit there and cry on my pillow because I didn't do what God wanted me to do that day. That's conviction. But it's the temporary desires. They're out there. And they sound so appealing at the moment. You know, I look out tonight, and I imagine last Wednesday night how this whole bottom row was, this whole bottom section was completely packed out. And I can guarantee you that the weather kept people at home tonight because they didn't want to get out in the cold. I didn't want to get out in the rain because it's been 60 degrees outside and it's felt nice. But now there's a stiff wind blowing from the north and blowing from the west that's blowing in some cold air. And I can guarantee you that kept a lot of people home tonight. And, you know, some people can't help it. And I understand that. That's not the point I'm trying to make. I'm trying to make the point that a lot of times we as God's children allow those temporary desires to creep in. And we're more concerned about fulfilling those temporary desires than we are about fulfilling our role as Christians. I wanted to share some scripture in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Because as I was reading these scriptures here in Philippians chapter 2, this verse came to my mind. And again, it's Romans chapter 12 and it's verse 3. And it says, "Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies," it says in verse 4, "just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other." Oh my goodness. What are we going to do? We all belong to each other. That's what the church is. We're supposed to be one big happy family. All united together with the same mission and the same focus. But the problem a lot of the times is we act like a family. the worldly definition of a family, not the family as defined by God. We let our wants, our desires, our selfishness creep in. Just imagine your marriage. A lot of times, a lot of arguments that people have in their marriage is simply because of your own wants, your own desires, your selfishness. That's why I tell people that it's so appropriate to keep God at the center. Keep God at the center of your marriage. Keep God at the center of your relationships. Keep God at the center of everything. Because when you keep God at the center of everything, that doesn't allow the selfishness to come in. And, you know, do me and Tanya have a perfect marriage? No. You know, I have selfishness that creeps in. She has selfishness that creeps in. I think all marriages deal with that. It's human nature. It's what happens when you have sin. Unfortunately, a sin began with Adam and Eve in the garden. And we're still suffering with that today. And we will suffer with that until God calls us home. But we, it's God's family. Number one, we got to be united together. Number two, we can't be worried about impressing others. And number three, we got to be that example of humility. You know, I get asked a lot since I get the opportunity to teach a small groups class, and since I get the opportunity to occasionally preach up here, I get asked quite frequently what it's like. And you know, what am I thinking when I stand up here to preach what God has laid to preach what God wants to preach through me? And you know, when people ask me that, I tell everybody the same thing. The first thing that I do as I walk into the doors of the church is I pray. I pray that God cast away all my selfishness. I pray that all my desires are removed. Because standing up here and fulfilling this calling requires me to do that. I don't stand up here to please you all. Yeah, Helen, I know. I don't stand up here to please myself. I stand up here to please God. I stand up here to do what God has called me to do. And that's what God expects of each and every one of us. That requires these three points that I mentioned. It requires us to be united together as a family. Could you imagine what would happen in the Old Testament if the children of Israel would have united together? They could have avoided that 40 years in the wilderness, couldn't they? Moses could have got to go into the wilderness. Could have got to go into the land of Canaan. But instead, selfishness came in. Their own desires came in. Fear came in. You know, God gave us that example in the Bible to learn from it. We are, you know, we have the same motivations because of sin. But we have to be willing to humble ourselves and to realize that God's in control. I don't know how many times I've been asked this week by people in church, have you heard whether or not you've received that promotion? You know, I had my interview last Wednesday, and the guy that I talked to on the phone, or the panel that I spoke to on the phone, they said that I would hear something by the end of the month. As I told you, as I shared with you all last Wednesday night, I've had a peace come over me, and I'm at peace with whatever decision's made. So I promise you all that, number one, I'll share that with you all once I get the news. I'm not going to hold it back because I've shared it with you all. So I want y'all to know the news. But I bring that example up to you because I'm trying to humble myself to do what God's calling me to do in my job. And it requires humbleness. So I know I've been brief. But I really want us to focus on the aspect of unity. Because in order to fulfill God's calling as the church, we have to stand together. We have to stand in the trenches together. When one of our brothers or sisters fall, we have to be willing to pick them up and keep fighting. Keep going. No matter how hard it seems as though it is, we have to keep going. You know, as we get closer to the end, when I say the end, as we get closer to the time that God calls us home, or that when Jesus comes and takes us home, we're just going to see more and more persecution. You look at the last 10, 15 years, you see Christians being persecuted more and more. And it seems as though it's getting closer over here. Unfortunately, for those people that are persecuting us, they're all about claiming to please a God that, number one, it doesn't exist, but number two, they're claiming that they're killing people in the name of their God. It's going to get worse. We're going to see more of it. And it's going to get closer to home. It's going to get closer to our doors. It's going to get closer to our children. Does it scare me? Yes. But God pointed something out to each and every one of us. And I'm going to share it. God gave us something that's necessary in order for us to stay united, in order for us to go out on the battle lines and to do what He's calling us to do. He gave us something called the armor of God. And the armor of God is something that completely protects the front from head to feet. Does it protect the back? No. It does not protect the back. That tells me that we're not supposed to turn around and give up. That means we're supposed to keep going forward. Now I'm going to briefly share this scripture in Ephesians chapter 6. I didn't expect to read this, but God led me here. So Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. It says, "A final word, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. I think that's so important. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. We've got to be persistent in what we do. We cannot give up. It says to persevere. And it says in verse 19, and pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for Him as I should. Paul should be the example for us. Paul never gave up as to preaching the message and the good news. Here he was in prison. He was in chains. But yet, he still preached on in the name of God. He still preached the message of Jesus Christ. And we as God's children, that should be our exact focus today. We are to keep on keeping on. To keep on preaching and teaching that message of Jesus Christ. Not as an ununified body, but as one body. Coming together in the name of God together. So I'm asking you all to pray. I'm asking you all to pray this week because I've been praying for several weeks, several months. I've been praying that churches would come together in the name of God. And stop this ridiculousness that we've seen. Come together and love each other. And show that love to others. And show that love to the lost. You look at the church today, the lost, I try to look at it from the eyes of the lost. Would I want to be a part of what's going on in churches today? I'm glad I'm a part of it. Because I have that gift of salvation. I'm glad I'm a part of fighting the battle. But the fact of the matter is we shouldn't be fighting this battle in our churches. We should be standing united. So I'm asking you all to pray for that. For I think if our churches came together, we would see a great movement. But instead, we have churches wanting to focus on the wrong things. Wanting to focus on limiting God and wanting to focus on putting people in the church with a correct lifestyle. God wants the people that don't have a life to come into the church. And instead of rejecting them, we should be accepting them. So that being said, let us go ahead and close in a word of prayer tonight. And I just want to take this time before I close in prayer. I want to thank you all for bearing with me while Josh has been gone. We have an amazing church. And I'm blessed to be a part of some amazing people. And I just want to tell everybody, thank you all for bearing with me. As I've stood in Josh's place. So that being said, let us go ahead and close in a word of prayer tonight. I'm going to ask Steve to close us in prayer. Would you mind too?